like that, that we have become partakers of Christ to a heavenly call, a heavenly summons.
All right, yeah, much better. But it uses Hebrews 3:4. It's talking to you here about the believer's rest, entering into just the finished work of Christ. I love verse 3:1, that we are partakers of Jesus, partakers of a holy calling, or holy summons, you know, to participate in his life. Mm-hmm. And he uses, in here, he gives an example, because these are, of course, Jewish people he's speaking to. Gives them two Old Testament examples. Gives it out of Psalm 95, where it says, "Today, if you hear his voice," this is verse 7, "do not harden your hearts when they provoke me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me and tested me, and they saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways, and I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And he goes on, he uses actually this verse 4 different times. The very first one, "Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice." And the two incidents he was talking about, one was when they were in Rephidim, and they were grumbling because they were thirsty, and they didn't have any water. Mm-hmm. And they were grumbling against Moses, and Moses thought they were going to stone him. So he went before the Lord, and then the Lord told him to go over and strike the rock. Water would come out of the rock. Mm-hmm. He, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that actually the rock was Christ that followed them. So they call that place Meribah and Massa, which means it's a place of strife and quarreling, and a place of temptation and test. Really places, when you think of places of testing or places of strife and quarreling, and one of the reasons we don't enter into God's rest is that very thing. One is that there's always strife and quarreling about where God has us, right? Mm-hmm. What's going on in life with us? And there's just this quarreling and arguing and fighting with God. Mm-hmm. And a big reason that we don't enter rest, because we don't enter the rest, it goes on over and over again because of unbelief, mm-hmm. right? And the second one he uses, when he said, "I swore in my wrath, they won't end my rest," is when they were in Kadesh Barnea and was getting ready to cross into the Jordan, you know, for the first time. And they, of course, they sent the spies, and they came back and told them that the people were grumbling and fearful. And
actually, what Scripture says, they were just rebellious. You know? And then for 40 years, that whole generation, you know, for 40 years until all of it died out, you know, their unbelief. And again, it tells us over and over again that we're not able to enter God's rest is just simply because something of unbelief. And then places of testing where the Lord tests us. But in chapter 4, that's really cool stuff here. I'm going to jump down because it says those people had good news preached to them like we have. So therefore, since it remains for some to enter, those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of their disobedience. And that's actually the same exact word as unbelief. And again, he fixes today, as through David, saying a long time ago, like a prophetic word, "Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day. So Joshua was unable to give them full rest, you know. So therefore, there remains a rest for the people of God. And the one who has entered his rest has himself rested from all his works as God did. Therefore, be diligent to enter into God's rest. So no one will fall through following the same example of unbelief. You know, when it uses that word over and over again, to enter into God's rest, the verb that's there, and again, in the Greek, is the aorist tense. Aorist tense is kind of a simple form of a past verb, which means something that has happened in the past. It doesn't really give a time thing, but it's talking about that we have, because you're in Christ, in reality, you have entered into God's rest, right? Because you entered with Jesus into the veil, you're seated with him in the heavenly places, and doesn't mean that that's true in your experience, but in reality, you are in God's rest, right? So it's asking me to be diligent to enter into something that's actually already mine that Jesus won for me, right? So again, the only thing that hinders me from entering into God's rest is my own stuff, my own unbelief, right? Which leads to disobedience. Unbelief just always leads to disobedience, right? So this is always, because my Bible ends in verse 11 here and it starts in verse 12, where it goes, the Word of God is living and active. We hear that all the time, right? You've got to understand that's written in context of entering into God's rest, right? That the Word of God is living and active and is sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's all in one kind of paragraph there. The very next one is, therefore, since you have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He says, therefore, let us draw near to Him with confidence, the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Now, so in context of all this, it's talking about entering into God's rest, that we have entered it because we're in Christ, right? To be diligent, to make that real in my experience. And then he goes on to talk about the living and active Word, the Word of God, Jesus, being living and active. And the Lord understands my weaknesses. Well, the weakness he's talking about here is the weakness of entering into His rest. Right? The struggles that we have, our unbelief, right? Our weaknesses, our disobedience, the things that keep us from entering into God's rest. And I love that because he said all things are laid open and bare to Him. In other words, His Word is able to pierce that place in me, expose that place in me, right? Show that place in me that hinders me. See, I can enter into God's rest in some areas of my life and in some areas where I don't enter into His rest, right? Where I'm experiencing in this, I may be, 60% here and then 40% over here I'm not, or it could be, 90 and 10 or whatever. 10% of entering into rest and 90% not. But whichever one, that's a really encouraging word to me because, God is just this living and active Word. I mean, in Christ is just always exposing and showing. Just even yesterday, recently last night, in a conversation with someone, was able to really show me an area where I wasn't entering into His rest. Really exposed that, and I thought, that's really cool. The Word, He's just so faithful to me. If you think of the Word, we're not talking always about the written Word. It's the living Word. Jesus is the Word of God, right? Who lives within us. And that living Word is there to, and everything is laid open to Him. So, and He sympathizes with that weakness that hinders me. He's not like upset with me, but He sympathizes with that. And that's the reason it tells us to go, that He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So He was tempted with unbelief, right? He was tempted to try the Lord as they did. He was tempted to have thoughts that go through his head like, hey, God, are you with us or not? Just like they did. Or fear about going into the land because of the giants and things they would have to face, right? So He's a faithful high priest. In other words, He's the one that takes us. And it's His rest that we enter into. And He's going to be faithful to get us there. If you're diligent, and that word means if you're serious about it, you're serious about entering into His rest, then He'll show you. Amen. He'll be faithful to get you there where you want to go. Like for me, just asking the Lord, hey, I want to enter into Your rest. And He's like, good, okay. Then I'll show you why you're not, right? And in that is where I can come into union with Him, His victory already. Because again, the truth He reminds me of is that I'm already there. I've entered into God's rest. It's happened because I'm in Christ. Now He wants that to be in every single area of my life. Where when you think about entering into God's rest, it's not just inactivity. Like Ian Thomas said, it's God's activity, right? It's an inward rest where I'm just resting in His victory. And I'm not stressed on the inside because it's God's rest. And He was tempted as we are. He understands your weakness, right? Because if I beat myself up and I get just, it talks about God's rest, if I just get guilty because I haven't entered into God's rest, don't go there, right? Just ask the Lord why you're not entering into His rest. And the Holy Spirit will show you quickly. And because Jesus was tempted in all those things, right? Now, we can use that verse with anything and everything in life. But for here, in context, It is that we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace and receive God's mercy to enter into his rest, right? In our time of need. And that time of need there is our need to enter into God's rest, right? Because that's the whole challenge of 3 and 4. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden heart. And there's a voice constantly in all of us that's inviting us. As verse 3:1, that's that invitation, that's a calling. There's a constant calling to enter into God's rest in every day. So, Lord, I pray for us, that for me, for everybody here, Lord, that you're so faithful. You're a merciful and faithful high priest. Lord, we go through the veil because of you. We've already entered into that place, that holy place. And, Lord, we want that victory, that everything that you won. God, you said that, even says that your works were finished before the foundation of the world. That is so amazing. And Lord, let that be a part of our daily lives where we experience that. Lord, we show up today into your rest, into your finished works. And Lord, just enjoy that. We can't add anything to it or take away. And Lord, we never need to worry about the things that we aren't doing or haven't done, because if we're doing that, Lord, we're not entering into your rest. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, let's stand. We made a